a square law, you know. At least I think it is. As the dragons fly further away, they begin to dwindle. Otherwise, my little Liesa would be ruling the whole world by now, if I know anything about it. But I can see I mustn't keep you. I expect you'll be wanting to rescue your friend.
Two Flower gaped. Harun, he said.
Not him. The skinny wizard. My son, Leort, is trying to hack him to pieces. I admired the way you rescued him.
Will, I mean. Two Flower drew himself up to his full height. An easy task. Where is he? He said, heading towards the door with what he hoped was an heroic stride.
Just follow the pathway in the dust, said the voice. Liesa comes to see me sometimes. She still comes to see her old dad, my little girl. She was the only one with the strength of character to murder me. A chip off the old block. Good luck, by the way. I seem to recall I said that. Will say it now, I mean.
The rambling voice got lost in a maze of tenses as Two Flower ran along the dead tunnels, with the dragon loping along easily behind him. But soon he was leaning against a pillar completely out of breath. It seemed ages since he'd had anything to eat.
Why don't you fly?
Said Nine Reeds inside his head. The dragon spread its wings and gave an experimental flap, which lifted it momentarily off the ground. Two Flower stared for a moment, then ran forward and clambered quickly onto the beast's neck. Soon they were airborne, the dragon skimming along easily a few feet from the floor and leaving a billowing cloud of dust in its wake. Two Flower hung on as best he could as Nine Reeds swooped through a succession of caverns and soared around a spiral staircase that could easily have accommodated a retreating army. At the top they emerged into the more inhabited regions, the mirrors at every corridor corner brightly polished and reflecting a pale light.
I smell other dragons.
The wings became a blur, and Two Flower was jerked back as the dragon veered and sped off down a side corridor like a gnat-crazed swallow. Another sharp turn sent them soaring out of a tunnel mouth in the side of a vast cavern. There were rocks far below, and up above were broad shafts of light from great holes near the roof. A lot of activity on the ceiling, too, as Nine Reeds hovered, thumping the air with his wings. Two Flower peered up at the shapes of roosting beasts and tiny men-shaped dots that were somehow walking upside down.
This is a roosting hall,
said the dragon in a satisfied tone. As Two Flower watched, one of the shapes far above detached itself from the roof and began to grow larger. Rincewind watched as Leort's pale face dropped away from him. This is funny, gibbered a small part of his mind. Why am I rising? Then he began to tumble in the air, and reality took over. He was dropping to the distant, guano-speckled rocks. His brain reeled with the thought. The words of the spell, picked just that moment to surface from the depths of his mind, as they always did in times of crisis. Why not say us? They seemed to urge. What have you got to lose? Rincewind waved a hand in the gathering slipstream. Ashonai, he called. The word formed in front of him in a cold blue flame that streamed in the wind. He waved the other hand, drunk with terror and magic. Ebiris, he intoned. The sound froze into a flickering orange word that hung beside its companion. Urshoring, Kavantai, Python, Ngurad, Feringomali. As the words blazed their rainbow colours around him, he flung his hands back and prepared to say the eighth and final word that would appear in coruscating octarine and seal the spell. The imminent rocks were forgotten. He began. The breath was knocked out of him. The spell scattered and snuffed out. A pair of arms locked around his waist, and the whole world jerked sideways as the dragon rose out of its long dive, claws grazing just for a moment the topmost rock on the Wyrmberg's noisome floor. Two Flower laughed triumphantly. Got him! And the dragon, curving gracefully at the top of his flight, gave a lazy flip of his wings and soared through a cave mouth into the morning air. At noon, in a wide green meadow on the lush tableland that was the top of the impossibly balanced Wyrmberg, the dragons and their riders formed a wide circle. There was room beyond them for a rabble of servants and slaves and others who scratched a living here on the roof of the world. and they were